Yo, what's up, family? Welcome to another episode of Fresh Feral Entertainment. We're your hosts. I'm Horace DeFeral.
It's the God, Don the Ascended.
And your boy, Ride the Guy. And we back to y'all with another banger.
Yes, sir. Now, you all read the title. You probably was like, what the hell is that? It's okay. We said the same thing. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, this is going to be definitely a more, I guess, scientific episode. How do we say it?
It's gonna be scientific, but it ain't gonna be too scientific.
Like, you might want to pull out a calculator, not really, but you might as well be. You know what I'm saying? It's gonna definitely be like intense quantum mechanics and quantum physics. You don't have to understand, you know. Definitely go back and rewind, because you know I was rewriting these notes and was like, do I, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's definitely gonna be a good episode as we try to correlate and relate everything to metaphysics and everything. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump on.
Get you a neck pillow and some aspirin. Let's get to it.
So you read the episode Tachyon Energy. The hell is tachyon? What is a tachyon? You're like, I ain't learned.
What is a tachyon?
But before we even answer that question, before we even like get into the whole physics of everything, let's just talk about what quantum mechanics is. I look at quantum mechanics as really, by now, what we know is quantum mechanics no more than African spirituality. You know what I'm saying?
Elaborate. What do you mean by that?
Because everything you see in African spirituality, whether from the Dogon tribe, from the Egyptians, the Aborigines people, and it's stuff that's being confirmed today that was expressed through spirituality, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was the understanding that the universe is not made of matter, but the universe is made up of your spirituality, which only dials more into that concept that everybody got their own reality. You see what I'm saying? Like, your universe will be based upon your understanding of the universe. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And this is why I say it's ever expanding. Now, as we're going into the same thing is no different when we come to the topic of tachyons, you know. And a tachyon, the scientific definition is really is the hypothetical particle that's faster than the speed of light. And, you know, they often say hypothetical or try to debunk it before they prove it as it is. You know what I'm saying? Because they have yet to understand it in. By trying to make everything a theory, they lose sight of understanding what it really is. You see what I'm saying?
It's like the whole instead of innocent to proven guilty, but right. As long as it's science, it's false until proven true.
Yeah. Right.
And you know, they try to belittle this existence by saying, "Oh, it's not consistent with the known laws of physics." And this is where that African spirituality being quantum mechanics come into play, because everything about quantum mechanics is about literally defying the laws of physics that we already have. You know what I'm saying? So to even encompass and saying, oh, that doesn't go by the law of physics, but you have a whole subcategory of physics that literally defies physics is counterintuitive in itself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, these remnants are used to, these tactics are produced to throw you off because the constraints of your reality, you should be able to question the constraints of your reality. They're scared to question it because it shows that in reality, the reality is shaped upon your perception. You know what I'm saying? It would like these quantum mechanics prove that reality is shaped upon, like I said, yourself, what you believe and what you see. Everything isn't consistent with no laws because there are no laws. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
All the laws can be broken down. That's the whole point of quantum mechanics. And that's what even the black hole, everything about the black hole literally defies every law known to man. Yet they still manage to find the picture of it. You know what I'm saying?
That's really crazy.
And let's see. So these things called tachyons, I would say they do exist because you have to acknowledge the law of polarity. Also to understand, because to be able to have one thing means you have to have something of that opposite effect. So, and science has also proved this. You have something, you have to tachyons which are faster than light. And due to the law of polarity, you have these things. I think they're pronounced like brachions, which are like slow. I don't know. I'm pronouncing
it wrong. It's like brachions or something.
Yeah, brachions. Everything that's slower than light.
Yeah, that's slower than light. And so that's that law of polarity. Go ahead. My fault. Go ahead.
I was just saying that's, you know, if we're talking about polarity, and it's crazy you said that because I was thinking these things have to exist. If you have our existence now where pretty much everything that we know in existence moves slower than the speed of light, right? I mean, that's pretty much all matter, our own being, everything that we can touch that's moving slower than the speed of light. So if you have things that are constantly moving slower than the speed of light, then like you said, on the flip side, there have to be particles that are constantly moving faster than the speed of light, which would be the tachyons.
Right, exactly. And what this also emphasizes is it correlates especially with things like time manipulation. And I think to get a grasp, I think the best thing to ever explain how tachyons works is the Watchmen show or the Watchmen movie with the character Dr. Manhattan. You know, if you ain't seen that episode, Totally Indifferent. I don't know how many times we shouted that by this point. If you ain't listened to it, you might really be lost in this episode for real. But the character literally embodied the whole idea of tachyons, especially with how it was illustrated to how he saw time. You see what I'm saying? That since he is faster than light, there is no such thing as time. He is beyond time. So everything is happening in one concurrence. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's because the space-time continuum, like space and time exists together, right? So most times an object's speed in space is directly linked to how it moves throughout time, right? So if you have something that's moving faster than light, then that's directly correlated to how it'll move through time as well, right? And as we know, you know, in our everyday lives, everything moves slower than the speed of light. So to us, it's moving through time in this, you know, linear constant forward motion. But once you start surpassing the limits of what we believe as reality, then you got, you know, start talking about stuff moving backwards in time and, you know, things of that nature. Even though it's technically not moving backwards in time, it's really all just another, you know, another derivative of your perception because of the difference in speed that you have.
Mm-hmm. Also the reference point of how we us observers view it.
Yeah, that's what it is, the reference point, because I was reading up and it was pretty much saying how if you have a tachyon, you know, there was an article talking about the hypothetical nature of a tachyon, but it was saying how if you have a tachyon and you send a signal out to an observer that's moving slower than the speed of light, that signal will be received before it was transmitted to them. So in their perception, that tachyon just moved backwards in time, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But
it also,
go ahead.
No, continue your thought. I got for you.
Oh, I was just going to end it off with saying that the tachyon, you know, it didn't actually move backwards in time. That's just how the observer viewed it.
Mm-hmm. Because I was going to say that listens to this paradox that when I was reading on it, right? Like, for example, with that receive, like, for example, let's say somehow I can send you a message through tachyon, right? I'm out, I'm picking up food. I say, Don, what you want from Moe's? What's your order from Moe's?
I'm about to get that black bean burrito.
Okay. So let's say if we sent through tachyons, it would appear to the person that you sent me your order from Moe's before I even ask you the question, right? But if I already knew your order from Moe's, why would I ask you the question? You feel me?
Right. I get what you're saying. And see, it's funny because like while science is trying to understand and prove it, it's already been proven numerous times over. How many times do you see in pretty much every ancient civilization, the Ouroboros, which is the snake eating its own tail, it was used to represent time. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whether you see it in Nordic mythology, where you got Jormungandr, you got the Ouroboros. If the snake eating its own tail is a representation of time, that the beginning and the end are the same point. There is no difference. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where you end is exactly where you start.
I mean, that just goes into the whole constant nature of time. past, present, and future all existing simultaneously.
Right. Everything that's going to happen, you've already experienced it. And I tell people this is a fact. I remember I created this I wrote it down like years ago. I actually sat down and understood it myself. It was pretty much like, you've already experienced that event, but you haven't experienced it in the type of time frame that you're in currently. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like when someone says, if I know I told you this, you was going to be mad. You're not mad yet. You see what I'm saying? But the future occurrence of that event already will constitute in that emotional reaction. So you've already endured it, but you haven't experienced it. You see what I'm saying? It's mm-hmm. the experience that creates the difference level between what we perceive as time. Everything has already happened simultaneously. It's just that you just have to wait till you experience that event to have everything that constitutes an experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, how do we understand tachyon energy in reference to like frequencies and metaphysics? I think to go into that, you know, you got to look at tachyon energy as all energies in itself, right?
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. Oh, go ahead.
I'd say, you know, even looking further to the origin of tachyon energy, right? Like, yes, this concept in and of itself, you know, is very deep, but it also originates from something even more expansive, which is zero point energy, which is like the infinite ocean from which all things come from.
You know, I was going to make that point later. I wanted to save it, but you already brought it up, so I'm going to bring it up. It's so funny, right? So like, no, you good. Cause like, this is how I'm able, I think I tell people like the only reason I'm even into what I'm into with this stuff is a result of comic books, right? And I remember when DC in the 90s had this whole called the zero point, you know what I'm talking about, Don?
Like, yep.
And the zero point was like where you had all the realities and worlds and dimensions of the other heroes colliding within each other. So you had like an alternate version of Superboy in a world where Superboy ain't ever exists, or where Superboy was already dead, conversion. They called it the zero point because there was infinite possibilities of what that.
Right. It's like the infinite potential of everything at a singular point.
Huh. Really, it's your multiverse of madness, if you want to be real with it. This is your multiverse of madness. But the only difference is you're just not aware of the multiverse. You've chosen not to. It's like what some people call deja vu. They say there's so many theories involved around deja vu. Some people say it's you messing up in the matrix. I believe you experience something in an alternate reality. So it seems very familiar towards you. Science has already came out and coincided with what everyone said about, well, what the ancients have said about. They've already found and opened up dimensions and pocket dimensions of places that time would go backwards. You know what I'm saying? Which mm-hmm. time is not something that time necessarily isn't a construct. It's like a being in itself operates on its own rhythm. It's like gravity. You know what I'm saying? It's just there. It just is, which makes me relate it. Like I said, since tachyon energy is all of itself, the Dr. Man have had an episode represents it pretty much as I am. You see what I'm saying? Dr. Mm-hmm. Man never seen himself as like, I am Dr. Manhattan. He was like, I'm strictly am. You know what I'm saying?
Interconnectedness to everything within the universe. Because if we're looking at a zero point field, right, and we know mm-hmm. that everything originates from there, that means you, plants, animals, everything that you've ever seen, every person you've interacted with, and all come from the same point.
I think what that. Were you about to say something?
Nah.
Nah.
I think that was the echo. But I think what the zero point actually represents as well is like, I think like Christians call it the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think everybody has a name for what they're really calling zero point energy.
The Divine Mother.
I feel like even the conscious community got a name for it. Like,
yeah, they call it conscious. Creator, they call it this, they call it that. Which to me, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that's all just savior complex, finding a reason. But what the zero point energy shows and what tachyon shows is that you are that zero point field. You are that zero point energy of infinite potential. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same. It's funny because they just did a study. And, you know, this is so funny. This is how I know we always on point with the shit. Because they just came out with a study talking about how they was using melanin to power computer chips. And when we did that melanin episode about a year ago, some change, they was talking about how we was talking about how the power of melanin has electromagnetic capabilities. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. That's how it protects us from the sun and its mutations.
The sun, but the sun ain't mutating you. It's actually helping you. It ain't really even a mutation. It's an energy source. Even another good point in reference, because like this was that I guess I have paid attention to psychology. So like they emphasize like things like these forms the universe calling good virtues and all that, and they would. The analogy for it was the sun, because that was the only tangible thing you could see giving power to everything. See what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How it was that infinite field of energy. It represents a zero point in the analogy, but also being realizing that you are a byproduct of that zero point energy. Because to us, or just to the planet whole, the sun is the power wave. You know what I'm saying? It's no different than when Superman goes to the sun when he got slapped out. He like, man, let me go get some sun. You know what I'm saying? And he would come back.
Fly up and charge up a little bit. Come back on 10.
And what I was saying with the zero point energy in relation to the Holy Spirit, I think all of that represents polarity. And you have this balance. And tachyon energy is that balance. It's your neutrons. It's your neutral energy source. Right? So it is. It's affected by nothing, but it also works towards, like, for instance, your thoughts and emotions shape your reality. No matter how positive or negative that emotion, it's not going to stop or affect your personal tachyon energy field. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty. It's like a natural catalyst for itself. It's pure energy. It's actually. I think I got an idea. It's actually what Tesla was working with: free energy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's exactly that. It was understanding that in this, just look in your room, that nothingness, that space, just like that open space, that air, not like the space in the wall, just like that emptiness in your room contains like infinite energy in there. That's what the free energy principle pretty much was. And to contain something that mass understanding, you probably were harboring, you were probably utilizing tachyon energy to sustain something of that magnitude. You know what I'm saying?
I was reading, I was watching one of the videos doing my research, and they were saying like tachyon energy don't have no frequency.
Mm.
And so, and you were saying how it's just that infinite energy, like it's, you know what I'm saying, it's no frequency, it is just pure energy.
And I think the, let me see. It's not even like a certain type of energy. I think we just give it energy to find a way to classify it. It's like a type of, it's a reductionist idea we play into it, because I consider it reductionist because it's like, if it's something that we don't have a full understanding of, but to understand it, we put it in terms for us to understand it, right? And tachyon energy is that gateway back to that zero, right? It's not. Tachyons aren't necessarily non-specific, but they are. Like I said, they are truly the balance of the universe. You know what I'm saying? It's no different than like understanding dark matter and dark energy. How like they understand this role, understand it has a significant role in the universe. You know what I'm saying? It's like the web that holds it. Like dark, if dark matter is like the web of the, well, let me try to think. Since like dark matter is like what, like 79% of the universe, if not more.
More, but yeah, can you?
Yeah. That would be like your web. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And everything else would just be the fly part in your web. And that would make the tachyon energy like the fibers of the web. You see what I'm saying?
Mm. Okay, I'm with you.
Because it's like the glue. It's not. When you can break the web, the tachyon energy ain't going to just disappear. It's still there. And it's still doing nothing but everything at the same time. And so all the other forms of like energy really have no type governing over energy. It's truly in its own life. The process that you have to like, you really got to dive into quantum mechanics and understand it. Everything you see isn't see. You know what I'm saying? Realize. You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Y'all got that? Y'all didn't catch that? Real lies. No, it's all good.
Sounds good though.
But even then, even going into like everything out of being a natural catalyst, it pretty much shows that if you have enough light or knowledge, you can make that realization to and I mean, not even that realization, but you can tachyon energy is you when you reach enough light or knowledge, is what we constantly talk about. And you can even relate like tachyon energy and things like chi to a certain extent. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is another case of,
say what?
You know, I said, I feel like it's just another case of the same concept being told in different languages or different cultures, but at the end of the day, it's all the same thing.
Facts. And I mean, if you even look at, if you even break down chi, it's that inner essence, but you can't explain it. That would be, you know what I'm saying? It literally coincides directly with what it is. It just feels, in today's world, if you, people love to look back at the past and pick and choose which things they like, but until science tells you it's real, you people have like this certain amount of self-doubt towards it entirely. You know what I mean?
You know, sometimes I think, like, what if it's scientists somewhere and they be knowing that certain stuff exists and they just decide to not make it official that it exists just for the simple fact of not putting us on to too much information?
I think that's with everything, though. Because, like, if, as soon as something came out and they told us, that that's like kind of like raw knowledge is just very dangerous to those that can't control it. So,
I mean, but like, even to even if we want to break down that whole stigma as well, like, I would say we should go back to quantum, like, African spirituality or just spirituality in general being quantum physics, because like, you can go back, you can go back and you can find what the Europeans call, like, what they derived and found a name for being chemistry was derived from the word alchemy. You know what I'm saying? And alchemy was the practice of spirituality and the science of matter, but adding aspects of magic and everything to it. You see what I'm saying? They just took the part of chem and called it chemistry. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which is why they still struggle finding so many questions. They ain't got no magic to add to it. Another thing I found very interesting when doing research is that to really understand physics, you have to reverse engineer everything. So what people would do was that they would reverse engineer the tree of life and reference to understand everything that was all encompassing, to understand tachyon. And so by establishing that matter doesn't abide by reality, this birthed quantum physics, right? Proving that the physical world isn't just composed of matter, but spiritual energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is dependent upon you.
Say that last part one more time.
I was saying by establishing like when you reverse the tree of life, when you go back through the parts, they use that to break down. This is how, like, you know, the ancient cultures sought to understood the universe. They reversed the tree of life they had, and because think about it, if the tree of life tells you how everything works on your plane, they would reverse engineer it to understand everything greater than that. And by establishing through this day, I forgot the name of the book. I don't know if it was a book or a person that hit it, but it was like the meta. Was it the meta netta or the never? I think it was the meta netta. I read a script.
I actually think I know what you're talking about, but the pronunciation is beyond me.
Yeah, it's like a person's name, but it's also like something like meta netter. You know what I'm saying? The meta netta. So I just call it the meta netta. And so. And within it, I forgot who spoke it. I want to say it was Amon, Amun. I don't know. Don't quote me. Just do the research to help you. But I can't give you the exact definition. But I remember in it, they pretty much emphasized that by establishing matter doesn't abide by the constraints of what we call reality, this, with that understanding they had, they birthed what we call today quantum physics. And it was the proving that the physical world is not composed of everything that we think. It's not just composed of matter. It's composed of spiritual energy. Your energy is the matter of the universe. And I think examples that prove this when you, It's like literally when you say certain things and it happened. Or okay, I think the example everybody will relate to is like when you we did this over the summer where we talked about a certain car and you see like four cars of it in the next 10 minutes of that exact same car, exact same color, exact same model. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when you like Donovan, I think you did it one time. You had said something like a red Camaro and you saw like three red Camaros like back to back to back.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah, and that literally proves that the matter that we're speaking of that we so claim exists is only a byproduct of someone else's reality. Man, I'm trying to think of another reference point I can think about. This might be really obscure, but if like if you ever read superhero comics, every like superhero universe has like this one character who is like the god of the universe, like who created, who can rewrite the comic as you're reading it. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? Like Mr. Mock. Man, it's so many. Like he got like a Y and an X, like Mr. Moxoplex or something like
that. Are you talking about Mr. Putzik?
Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. Them letters.
The Superman villain.
And you know how if you ever read anything with him, and to catch anything with him is already like rare enough. But when you do, he's like rewriting the comic in real time. You know what I'm saying?
And I think it's funny, you know, us talking about words and, you know, how much that has an effect on the universe and the fact that his only weakness is saying his name backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yo, you just sparked something else. It's literally what we talked about in the Prophet episode when, like, I told you how, like, it meant Tim of Ab was how it was actually pronounced before it became Baphomet. And I can't remember what Tim of Ab means. I read it in Supreme Science where they broke down exactly which each thing meant. I know it related to, like, the third eye and stuff of that nature. I would have to go back and find that. But it's literally how, like, same thing. Oh, that, you know, if you know the character Shazam, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how he says the magic word Shazam. But in an alternate reality, you would say Mazahas to awaken the power. That was so cool.
Which yo, even with Zatanna, aren't all her spells just
English words backwards? Yes.
Yes, yes. Which is why even when I tell people like, or not even tell people, I say when you speak in the English language, it's nothing but spells, which is why you were able to cast stuff so easily. That's why it's also the hardest language to learn. You know what I'm saying? They make it sound like Chinese. They say actually English is the hardest language to learn. Every other country in Alina, it takes so much longer to learn English because it's not really a language. It's more like a jumbled up mess. You know what I'm saying? It's
an amalgamation of a bunch of different languages and stuff taken from other cultures and whatnot.
None of our
rules don't be consistent.
Literally. But if you look at it as the English language being something of spells, you understand why you have all these principles of manifestation. It's kind of like a cheat sheet if you can't do it yourself. You know what I'm saying? Well, you can't go within and do that yourself? Well, here go some words. You know what I'm saying? Here go some words. Use these to power up yourself. But all in all, this all relates to tachyon energy because you have to look at I really want to go into this zero point theory more because not the theory, but the zero point idea really just emphasizes everything we need about tachyon energy because the zero point energy field could potentially change the world by, like, you know, they've already proved things like time dilation, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Which at this point, if you can prove time dilation, but you refuse to prove something that's like really tachyon energy is nothing but free energy, that's what chi is, that's what all these systems that everyone's been using, you know what I'm saying? And the principle of free energy is really, I think it's beyond the grasp of most people because free energy, you wouldn't need to, essentially you are the energy or everything you see is energy. I remember I seen a free energy air conditioner. And it was not be what you think. It was like, it was made of a certain type of tree and it was just the wood and cut them into tubes and they put them in the wall. And so when the hot air would come through the tubes, because of like the properties of that wood and everything else around it, it made everything that came back inside the house was only cold air.
Oh, wow.
Huh? Interesting.
Exactly. So imagine you in Africa in the desert and you have a house in the house. I think it was made of hemp and something else. And they put all these tools to this certain type of tree in the wall. So like it's like a hole in the wall, but it's all made of these tubes. So when it's hot, all that heat that's outside, of course you would be hot in the house too. You see what I'm saying? When the air would blow through, it made all that hot air turn to cold air through the process of free energy.
Interesting.
Right? And see, it only makes sense because if you look in today's society, you know, scientists and engineers are really just trying to come up with ways to not prevent an energy shortage at this point. You know, you had the falsified news about oil and fossil fuels, which I just had a conversation with a friend about in relation to energy. Was just that I told people that one of the biggest scams in the world was telling people that oil was a non-renewable resource. Because not only was it a marketing ploy, but if you just look at the amount of consumption and to look at how do we still have oil, you know what I'm saying? If we were to use anything else at this rate, I promise you we wouldn't have, like, when they use parts of animals or when they, you know what I'm saying? Like, if it's this natural, we would have already, you would already have reports. We only got 30% left of oil left in the world. You know what I'm saying? These were already been high. The oil tycoon market really just folded everybody. Literally, they can do whatever prices they want to at any point. With
scarcity increases demand.
Literally. Damn, must have been ahead of them stegosauruses.
Literally. And on top of them never finding a full fossil ever.
Does it occur to you that, like, understand, they've never seen these animals, so what if they're putting the parts wrong the whole time? Like,
you know what I'm saying? They probably just making the parts up. Like, bro, I bet you this tail go here. How you know they ain't have two?
That could be the animal's nose for all we know. Like, they really just...
But with that, you got, like, as everybody's trying to come up with solutions to avoid this energy catastrophe, and they're still, for whatever reason, they don't want to go to stuff like wind and solar power, which in essence are a way of free energy to some extent. You have things like, then you got some things that are almost impossible, like cold fusion. But you know, I mean, then you got
money has its pros and cons.
Yeah, but then you have 0-point energy, which is also known as ground state energy. And so, like, I forgot it was another name for it. But then it could be, like, really, it's something that it's really something in the quantum mechanics sphere that could change everything. That it's, like, it's a byproduct of the fact that, like, okay, it's like how subatomic particles really don't act like, it's like how protons and electrons don't really act like they're just protons and electrons. They work in conjunction. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They never really work on their own. And 0-point energy is really taking that understanding, and you're like fluttering through all these different energy states at once, right?
But I mean, what does act on its own truly?
Exactly. And that's really why this tachyon energy and 0-point energy ideas are really revolutionary, not just if you care about, like, the planet, but towards yourself. You know what I'm saying? Because it then turns what we call the empty vacuum of space into a sea of energy. You know what I'm saying? Of infinite energy.
Mm-hmm.
We know energy never creates a goal. Think like this. When a supernova explodes, the energy doesn't just disappear. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't just dissipate. The explosions dissipate. Where is all that energy going? Right?
I'm just floating in it.
You know what I'm saying? If it blows up, and you know when a star blows up, you got like a billion nukes going off.
That's gigatons, my boy. Gigatons of power.
Then where does that power go? It doesn't just dissipate off and splinter out in the universe. I mean, it does, but it doesn't just, like, disappear. You know what I'm saying? It has to be stored somewhere. It's converting itself to a different energy, whether it's heat, cold, and this is where that 0-point energy thinks. I think that some of that energy gets transferred into 0-point energy, if not majority of it, because where that shit going? If that's the case, the planet would have been gone a long time ago. If you want to be real, knowing how many light years supernovas travel as it is, billions just blowing up, you know what I'm saying? And it'd be blowing up for years on top of that. It'd be blowing up for like 20 light years. Which also makes sense because if you look at, the speed of light isn't even like a time frame. You know what I'm saying? I forgot how they explain. They said that the speed of light, or like light itself, can't be measured in time because it's so fast, which is why they call it the speed of light. You know what I'm saying? It'll take this many light years. And that's just going off how fast the light moves. because you can't, they say that you can't measure like light and stuff in time. But when, so I'm trying to even imagine what a tachyon is like. It's like being in a neutral state. So you might, someone might see it 2 years ago, someone might see it 2 years from now, but to the tachyon, it's in the same spot as everyone else. Zero point energy. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how like Dr. Manhattan operated, which was funny because even during the 80s when that came out, that's even was an incredible thing to fathom. Even today, looking back at it, it's amazing to fathom that concept and how accurate it was conveyed years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when them Jews get that pen, they start writing them facts. Stan Lee, Jack Kirby, all of them, Alan Moore, they all be having them books, I'm telling you.
That's crazy for them to be on that type of like level in the 80s when the tachyons weren't even introduced as a theory until the mid-60s.
Yeah, and then to understand it to that much of an extent. Well, again, this also goes into, I ain't gonna call it a theory. It goes into this is why Dr. Manhattan is even called Dr. Manhattan. But you remember there's two stories of what happened at the Manhattan Project. And what the original Manhattan Project, they tell you in history is that, it's when they was making the atom bomb or the H-bomb.
Mm-hmm.
Hydrogen bombs.
Yeah, nonsense, right? But what it really was, they said that the scientists accidentally discovered an alternate dimension in them practices, in that study to make the hydrogen bomb by playing with them hydrogen particles so much, by speeding them up and doing all types of stuff. And they said, as a result of that, we lost 40 years. But think of it like, let's just say some people went through the portal, they 40 years. It's a 40-year difference. You see what I'm saying?
They said they lost 40 years? What do you mean by lost 40 years?
We lost, like, 40 years. As in, man, here's a good... Yeah, have any of y'all watched Rick and Morty Season 5?
Yes, I watched it last night. Continue.
Okay, you know the first episode where he's going through that portal and every time he goes through, the people age like 40 years?
Oh, yeah.
And Mr. Nimbus. They dedicated their whole life just to killing him. And with him, he was literally just going back minute to minute to minute. It was minutes for him.
Mm-hmm. And they literally had jumped like generations into the future.
It was going generations into the future, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we mean. Okay, you know what's a great idea? Have any of y'all ever watched Interstellar?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember I got finessed into watching it by one of my old roommates down in Florida. And I did not want to watch that book. But
the movie's fine, though.
Nah, it is, but I didn't want to watch it at the moment. You know what I'm saying? He was like, you got to
prepare yourself for.
Okay, y'all got to fill me in. So what happened to Interstellar?
Let me tell you something. I was watching anime with my roommate, my other roommate. He got to watch Interstellar. Now I'm stuck watching Interstellar. I'm trying to watch some Demon Slayer. See how that was the problem?
Man? No, okay, man, that makes sense.
I didn't care. He'd be like, Aaron, you still up? I'd be like, man, mm-hmm. And so in Interstellar, basically, what's the main plot, though? Because I'm thinking about one specific part. Don't he go to space?
Yeah, pretty much it's a team, if I remember correctly. It's a team of scientists, astronauts, and they're looking for a place to, like a new habitable planet, right? So they're going to different planets that show signs of, you know, being able to sustain life on them, and they're taking samples in order to bring back and say, all right, you know, this is where humanity's next place of existence could be. But pretty much throughout the whole movie, they go really into depth of just how time moves and operates. I mean, at one point, dude literally goes into a black hole. It completely distorts, like, all the time, all the reality. Like, buddy was in the fourth dimension, just floating around, chilling. Yeah. It was crazy. Is while he was in the fourth dimension, you know, call back to what we were talking about earlier, how, you know, when you're looking at time and it existing, you know, past and future existing all at the same time, the dude was in the fourth dimension interacting with his daughter, but it was years ago. So in the present, he was affecting the things that happened decades before. And it literally shows you in the movie, you know, these unexplained things happening. And they're like, bro, what's happening? You know what I'm saying? It's even himself asking, yo, what is happening? And he doesn't realize until he, you know, it goes into the black hole that he's the one that was making those things happen all those years ago. It's really a crazy movie.
And another great part that showed time. That was a great part. That was the part right before I fell asleep. So I remember some of it. But
oh, man.
the part where, like, when they're going to other planets, like, remember when he goes to that one ocean planet? It's such a time difference. Like, all of them are like 30 in the spaceship, but because he's the one that went down to the planet, when he came up, the rest of his crew was like 60.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you're right.
It was 30 years, but it was literally an hour for him. And so then when he called in the Earth, his daughter was like 80 years old. And
old, still old, her. Old.
Like, she was like, not about to die, but she was old. She was, you know, little cords and stuff, you know what I'm saying? Oxygen thing. She was old like that. Where his crew was 60 and he was still 30. What went for a minute for him was like 30 plus years for his family.
Damn.
I think they actually said the time dilation on that planet was
yeah.
I think it said like 7 hours was, or 1 hour was like 7 years, something like that.
Yeah, and so like he was literally on the planet. He looked in the water. He tried. He almost got folded. He came back up. His crew was already like, "Yeah, we getting this." And it was crazy because he was also the only one that kept going to the planets. But he knew they also told him the cost of what he was doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you will still be the same, but you will outlive everyone, right? And this is why zero-point energy understanding, really, time dilation would be, like, otherworldly. But that is what I'm saying in regards to the Manhattan Project. Think about that same principle. They said when they opened that other dimension of scientists in the 40s, we lost 40 years. You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
And they say through that, the technology of the military is always like 10 times unimaginable. I'll never forget, which also confirmed this theory of when I was doing this OBAP program years ago. I was talking to this one dude who used to work in the Air Force, and he was like, "Yeah, man, you think about joining the Air Force Reserve?" And I was like, "Nah," but we kept talking, and he was like, "Yeah, man, because you know the military has technology you would never believe." He was like, "It's almost like 50 years in the future." That statement alone confirmed everything for me. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I believe, like, the military, once they discover something, they'll hold it 10 years anyway. But, yeah, after hearing the Manhattan Project, I can definitely see why it was so futuristic.
Right? And it makes sense and then it makes sense with the theory of everything with Dr. Manhattan. Everything coincides so perfect in relation to this zero point, which is why, think about it like this. They just now told us they found a dimension to open. They found a dimension that where time moves backwards, which means they've known about it for at least 10 years prior.
Indeed.
And with the knowledge of what really happened in the Manhattan Project about us moving forward for technology, it makes perfect sense about where we are versus what we're experiencing today about how, like, the electric car thing going crazy, or they're pushing this so hard. You got to think there's people 40 years ahead knowing, like, bruh, we over here using, you know what I'm saying? They're using who knows what comes from. Yeah, you know, I'm using septic fluid. And you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Damn. And so then you have, that's the relation to, like, the zero-point energy and everything with these time flux, right? So, of course, not all physicists will, like, believe all these things or try to care about these phenomena, but, like, access to this would be an unparalleled amount of energy, right? It basically, zero-point energy could, like, power the planet with, like, it's like having multiple suns, you know what I'm saying? Like, you on Tatooine, Star Wars, you know what I'm saying?
And they harness the power of those suns directly.
Right. And so it's like, it's almost like if you could hypothesize it, like, let's say, you know how to take the vacuum of space, is void, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Hypothesize that energy, there was infinite energy within that vacuum, right? Which I believe there has to be, because energy is not created nor destroyed. So,
and if you have a large space where it ain't nothing going on but a bunch of planets exploding and stars collapsing on themselves,
look, pulsars, constantly, stars, you're telling me that energy just dissipates? It can't. It has to transmute to something at some point. Especially if the universe is ever expanded,
right? Yeah.
Then
the whole thing about dark matter is it's there. It's just a matter of interacting with it,
right? Then you have principles like antimatter and everything else that coincides, which only further proves the concepts of tachyon energy. That makes sense why it's the neutral force. You can look at it. If everything that we found in space has an opposite, there always has to be the balance, and the balance represents the godhood. You see what I'm saying? With your ultimate. If you got matter and now you got antimatter, what lies in the middle? Tachyons. You know what I'm saying? If you got dark matter. I mean, we got to have some light matter out there. You know what I'm saying?
Are tachyons made of antimatter, or was that incorrect?
Wait, you say our tachyons made of dark matter?
I thought I read somewhere that tachyons are made of antimatter.
I don't know that part. I'm not denying it though. I could be wrong. I just know I believe that tachyons are like that neutral essence. Because if you look at it, it definitely resembles things of antimatter, but it also resembles those of matter itself too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because if it's faster than light, that means it's not tangible. Matter is tangible, but antimatter technically isn't tangible. But if it's the opposite of matter, they have to interact.
Nothing with mass can travel faster than the speed of light. That's like the whole purpose of Einstein's theory of relativity.
Right. And at the end of the day, that shit just a theory, basically. So, like,
that is true. I mean, I feel like the whole purpose of scientists now is to either further prove or disprove his theory. It's just the one that's most widely accepted now.
Yeah, I think everybody stopped trying to. But when you dive into quantum mechanics, I feel like everything about it's so weird. They say his theory of relativity proves black holes. It also goes against some of those laws of physics. You see what I'm saying?
But I actually have a book called The Three Roads to Quantum Gravity, and it specifically talks about I don't want to say the combative nature, but how Einstein's theory of relativity and all of Newton's laws of physics, how they're really contradictory towards each other, and finding out, you know, the main purpose today is to find something that satisfies both of those theories at the same time.
And tachyon would be that exact thing. I mean, first of all, let me just be, for all those little nerds out here, Newton is not a genius. You telling me an apple fell on this nigga head? Oh man, gravity. Bro, you gotta be stupid out of your mind. You telling me you thought the apple made you think about it? You didn't jump up and come, man.
I feel like that's just a children's story, they say, to make it easily digestible. Like, yeah, apple fell on this nigga head.
Like, the gravity. So you telling me you was chilling and a full blown apple fell on your head, and the first thing you thought about science? Well, I'm like, God damn, that shit hurt. Like,
why was you taking notes under an apple tree in the first place?
Hey, bro.
Instead of eating, homie, I know y'all was struggling. But what's the name of that book again?
Three Roads to Quantum Gravity.
That sounds like a dub.
It's by Lee Smolin. It's pretty good. I haven't finished it yet. But he's a theoretical physicist. Perimeter Institute for Theoretical Physics. Yada 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 yada.
See, but yeah, it's, you say
Newtonian
that
and Einsteinian ideas. And
it's
stuff.
Funny because like it kind of correlates with some stuff I read in the Isis Thesis book. I can't remember the author's name. I don't feel like getting the book. I'm sorry, but it's called the Isis Thesis. I don't know if it's still in print though, because I had got one of the last prints. That's why I spent like $80 on it. Somehow I managed to get my money back to the finessery, but. And still got the book, you know what I'm saying? Top tier shit. But great book. It's like reading an astrophysics paper because it actually correlates everything we know of quantum mechanics and just regular science to what people of like ancient Kemet and the Dogon tribe were explaining to us all these years through symbolism, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think I years ago, like I'm talking about like the magnetosphere, y'all remember I mentioned that before?
Yeah.
I remember you was talking about that heavy.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to get back in the book. I told you, I've been stuck on the first 50 pages because it's that much more in the first 50 pages about electrons and everything in correlation.
You know, that's how I be about these physics books. Like I told you, the book I just mentioned, I don't think I've made it past the first 30, 40 pages because it just gets so in-depth in those few pages.
Yeah.
He breaks.
But I believe the book was getting into what tachyons were when I first stopped. And I was just getting done reading the Watchmen comic. So all of it was feeling like it was connecting. And how they were able to display this through the what they called the gods and deities were just quantum principles. I think to some extent, even everything in the universe might not be real, but might just be to represent everything about the God in you, or you know what I'm saying? That that light, that knowledge. Like, what if everything about space was a lie?
It all comes back down to.
Go ahead. Yeah.
So I feel like that's what it all comes back down to at the end of the day, is understand how this affects you, how it pertains to your inner verse. You know,
yeah, like, what if Jupiter, Pluto, Saturn, all them shits ain't even real? And it's really just about, like, it represents you. Think about, like, just the fact that all the constellations represented the planets and the stars. You know what I'm saying? It goes so deep. It's beyond, like, man, what's my compatibility? Because I'm a Leo face, that. You know what I'm saying? Just going, like, so deep into everything. And I think tachyons is really that gateway that throws science, like, under the bus. It's not me trying to say science is bullshit, but I'm also saying science is bullshit. Catch my drift. You know what I'm saying? I think what makes everything about quantum mechanics amazing and about tachyons is just simply being able to ask the question. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right. But on that note, I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. I hope y'all had it. Might, you know what I'm saying? It'd be like that.
Go ahead and pop two more pills just to ease the pain.
God damn, boy, sound. Ooh, he sound like Kodak.
Hey, I'm talking about aspirin. Now, let me clarify. I meant aspirin, y'all, boy. Don't do nothing too crazy now.
I say you probably got kids listening, man. You got to be a good role model.
Hey, bruh.
What? Is there nothing coming after that?
I said aspirin. That's all I say.
Don't be popping that,
we're going to go ahead and close out this episode. Appreciate for all y'all that tune in. Make sure y'all follow the podcast. Because how we go from 99 then we go back to 98? Somebody, fuck you.
Damn. They say, are you old? Okay, you want me to follow? I bet. Unfollow. All right, bro.
Yeah. Support the episode. I mean, the stream still coming in. We appreciate all the play. You know what I'm saying? All that stuff. So we gonna keep bringing gems, but y'all know what to do. Y'all know the outro, man.
Yes, sir. From Men's to Kings,
from Kings to Gods.
This has been Fresh Pharaoh Entertainment. Peace,
and we outie.